This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, at the close of the program, I'll give you my mailing address and website address so that you can contact me if you'd like, or you can re-listen to this program on the website, and the website has other additional information that you might find helpful. In addition, if you'd like to leave prayer requests or comments on the program, you can contact me through one of the addresses that is most convenient. Now, today, I want to continue with a look at the mighty men that served David during his rejection when he was fleeing from Saul and then later when he became king. These men who suffered with David, they ended up reigning with David. And we read in the New Testament that if we suffer with the Lord, we'll reign with the Lord. And suffering with the Lord doesn't just mean we go out and ask people to persecute us. It doesn't mean that the doctrines that we preach do not matter. It's not that. It's just that if we are faithful to the Lord, and if the Lord was rejected, and if we're faithful to the Lord, we're following a rejected Lord, a Lord who bore reproach. He could say, "Reproach hath broken mine heart. I am full of heaviness. I look for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but found none." And so if we're following a Lord who is rejected, who has borne reproach, we'll bear it too. But if we suffer with him, if we bear that reproach, we shall also reign with him. The day is coming when the Lord is going to reign. He's going to be victorious over all of his foes in an earthly way. And he's going to reign on this earth. And it seems as though things are developing in such a way that that could happen very quickly. And I know that's been said for 2,000 years, and people are today sort of scoffing at the fact that the Lord has promised to return. But yet, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. He just doesn't tell us when he'll keep it. And in view of that, we need to be like the mighty men of David. Only thing is, we need to be mighty men serving the Lord. David's men fought physical battles. We fight spiritual battles. And one of the things that we mentioned last time was that in Ephesians 6, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." And so it's necessary to fight the battles with the truth of God, not with what we would like the truth to be, but with what the Bible says the truth is. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, righteousness is always that which preserves the Christian. We aren't righteous because we are sinless, but God has given us the cloak of righteousness, which has been imputed to us when we believe in the Lord Jesus. Like Abraham, we believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and we have that breastplate of righteousness through our faith. But I believe in a practical way, we can't fight our battles without acting righteous as well. And so we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm thinking of a New Testament verse that says, "Be ready always, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We always need to be ready with the gospel of peace, and we fight our battles that way. "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Now, this is not the shield of fervent believing. This is the shield of the things that we believe. When we have questions, doubts, need instruction, we go to the Bible and get our instructions from the Bible, and we have then a shield that will protect us, and it's the shield of the promises of God, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so it's the shield of faith that keeps us from being attacked by Satan in our mind and having doubts that will cripple us. And take the helmet of salvation. We put salvation on our heads to protect our minds. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so here we come back to the fact that we need the truth, the Word of God, in order to fight these battles. And then if we do all of that, then we should be praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we need to fight our battles with truth, with righteousness, with the gospel of peace, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with prayer. So that's the way we would fight in the New Testament, and we need to have the devotion that these three men we're going to read about today had when it came to their relationship with David. And so I want to read from 2 Samuel 23, verse 13. Then three of the 30 chief went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. This was a place of rejection when he was fleeing from Saul. He had been anointed king, but yet Saul was trying to kill him. Saul thought he could destroy David and could preserve his own dynasty. And yet Saul had offended the Lord, had sinned against the Lord, and that was not going to happen. And so they came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Now remember, Bethlehem was where David grew up. It was the city of David. He had played in the streets of Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." It's almost like saying, "Boy, I'm in such straits that I can't even enjoy what I enjoyed as a child. I can't enjoy a little refreshment from that well that I was refreshed at when I was a child, when we would play in the street and I would play with my friends and we would get thirsty. We could go to that well and it tasted so good." And in his mind, that must have been something he longed for. Now he was kept from his hometown, and he was being kept from the blessings that he remembered from his youth in that hometown of his. And so there were three mighty men, and they broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it." These things were done by the three mighty men. What distinguished these three mighty men? These three mighty men, you might say, were people who said, "His wish is my command." David never commanded them to go get this water at that well, but they heard that's what he longed for, and they made it their business to go get it for him. And he thought it was a stupid thing for them to do it, because he could see that they could have lost their lives. And he appreciated it to the point where when he got the water, he poured it out on the ground and said, "This represents your blood. I can't drink this. You shouldn't have done this." But they did it because they loved him. They were devoted to him. And they were three of his mightiest of the mighty men. Devotion to the Lord is what really makes us mighty men and women of God today. Today I keep hearing people say, "Well, we don't have to do that. We don't have to get baptized. We don't have to have a time in our lives when we really trusted in the Lord. We don't have to really repent and believe. We always understood these truths. We don't have to recognize the order of the New Testament church. We don't have to remember the Lord regularly. We don't have to do these things." And it's true, you don't. You don't have to be saved. You can go to hell. And of course, the reason I preach on this program is because that's the last thing I want. It's the last thing the Lord wants. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he doesn't want you to perish. And that's why Christ came and died at the cross. He doesn't want you to perish. But yet, at the same time, everybody is saying, "Well, we don't have to do these things and we can be good Christians without following the principles of the New Testament." And these men said, "We don't do anything because we have to. We do it because we love David and we want to." And when we start looking at the Bible through that prism, through that mirror, through that frame of reference, all of a sudden things become clear, because instead of saying, "Do I have to?" we say, "What can I do to please the Lord?" This time of the year is Christmas, and we're reminded that there was a baby born in Bethlehem's manger and he was born to die. We're reminded that this one that was born so innocently and who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born in the womb of this handmaiden, Mary, this one is the one who's going to go to a cross, and he's going to die on that cross, and he's going to die there. And so many people today want to worship the Lord as the babe in Bethlehem's manger, but they want to forget about the cross. I have told my wife for years that I'm just remiss because for our Christmas decorations, I would really like to have three crosses on my house. And on the house, I would like to put those three crosses and say, this is the reason for the season. I had a projector that would do that, and I didn't have a very good place to put the projector, and so the snowplows destroyed my projector, and so I haven't gotten that done, but that's the reason for the season, the cross of Christ. It's because the Lord was born in order to prove that he was the Son of God, and when he had done all that was demanded of him, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe on him. And so, dear friend, today don't get so occupied with the baby that you forget about the mature man who agonized in the garden before he went to the cross and asked the Lord to remove the suffering and the agony and the oppression of Satan in the garden from him so that he could fulfill his mission. And he did fulfill his mission after he had the strong bulls of Bashan encompass him, after people had sat down and watched him there, after they pierced his hands and his feet. After all of that, he said, it is finished. And it was finished. The work that saves is finished. And remember that at Christmas time. Remember that. And then if you remember that the Lord did this so that we can be saved, and if you understand that personally, instead of asking yourself all the time, what does the Lord demand that I do? You'll be asking, what does the Lord allow me to do? And instead of constantly arguing about whether or not we should wear head coverings in the church meetings, and whether, rather than arguing about whether women should be the teachers in the church, and rather than arguing about that, we would say, what does the Lord want? His wish is our command. And we would not have arguments about all these things, because we would not have a problem doing what the Lord has asked us to do. And he's asked us to remember him until he comes, and we would do that, and we would make that a prominent part of our worship if we were like these men. They broke through, foolishly broke through, and did something that could have cost them their life. And you know, true devotion is always seen by the carnal Christian and the unbeliever as a waste of your time and of your energy and of your resources. When we give to the Lord, we can't invest in the stock market. When we worship on Sunday morning, we can't be out at the ball games. You see, we always have something we have to give up in order to truly worship the Lord. But may we be like these three mighty men. His wish was their command. And they showed sacrificial devotion to the Lord. They showed, in their case, sacrificial devotion to David. We show it to the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened today. We pray for thy blessing upon the Word of God. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.